this morning. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of life. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you just fill the kids as they head out, that they grow to know you in a powerful way in their lives. God, as we just come before you now, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that has just been repeated over and over in heaven right now, that you are so holy. So as we just come before you now, God, just steady our hearts and minds to know that we are coming before our holy God. Salvation is in the name of Jesus, and only in the name of Jesus. God, we pray, just speak, open our hearts. Father God. Amen. So this morning, it's a little bit different. It's going to be a little interactive, because I thought, why not? It's September, it feels like January. Let's just do something a little crazy. So if we can have on the back screen the first slide, we're going to talk about baptism this morning. And, well, we're going to get to baptism. But whilst I share something before I get to baptism, I'm going to put this on here. Because I know many people here have been baptized. You have celebrated in baptism. And it's going to be one thing hearing from me as the pastor of what the Bible teaches us of the importance of baptism. But I thought, hey, why not let's see about hearing from you guys too? Because there are going to be people here sat with us that haven't been baptized. Whether you've been a Christian for so many years and for whatever reason just haven't taken that step, or whether you've just accepted Christ and, you know, this is the next step, to hear those maybe encouragements from yourselves. So, permission, you can use your phone during this time. And you could text me. When I last did this, I left my phone in Home Depot. This time I have my phone with me, so it might actually work. And so, text me. Don't give me a whole test me. Just give me a couple of points. What did your baptism mean to you? Now, you may be sitting here going, I don't have a phone. Well, if you've got your bulletin, you've got the yellow piece of paper, write a couple of points on your little yellow piece of paper. And then at the end, when I'm going to be sharing, and I won't mention names, just so there's no kind of awkwardness, I'll just say, hey, this person said baptism meant this for them or that for them. You can wave it, and I'll come to you, and I'll read your yellow sheet if you want to share that way, as a way of encouragement to others who haven't been baptized. So there's the interactive part of this service. So what did your baptism mean to you? There's my cell number. I put email as well, but surely if you've got a cell, that's going to be easier than rather than me going to my emails. But anyway, there's my email for fun. Anyway, but before I get to baptism, I'm going to share with you something that happened last week that kind of really affected us throughout this week, with some struggles, some difficulties, but ended up with a beautiful night last night with us praying around and praying with Pavel as he accepted Christ in his life. But it started last Sunday. I wasn't here. I was at home with the kids who weren't too well, and I wasn't too well, and I had kind of that cold this week that seems to be going around. But after church, when Jen got back from church, I was upstairs, and I heard the doorbell go, and Jen, I heard her talking to two females. And Jen, I heard Jen's voice saying, oh, we're pastors, and you know, this is what we believe in the Bible. And I thought, ooh, I wonder who's there. So I go down, and there's two ladies there standing with a Bible, and I join the conversation, and I say, oh, are you Jehovah's Witness? No, they said, no. Oh, okay. Are you Mormon? No, they said. We're Christian. I'm like, oh, okay. What's your denomination? No, we're Christian. No denomination, just Christian. Oh, okay. Well, we pastor church, and what do you want to tell us? Well, we want to tell you about God. Good. We believe that too. They said, you believe in the Trinity? Yes. Good. They said, and so we assume that you also believe in God the Mother. Huh? And so the conversation kind of went down that route of, okay, let's look at the Bible here. What does this teach us? And they started saying that salvation, and they had their Bible. They had a new international version, and they were using scripture to say that salvation is in not just Jesus, God the Father, Holy Spirit, but God the Mother, that you have to obey a great feast, that you have to do all these elements of works for salvation. And we're, you know, and also every illness is every, that ever happens is a sin. And I share, you know, in scripture with them, you know, first I shared John 3:16 and they rejected that. And so I had to give another scripture and they rejected that. And even when they talked about every sickness is a sin, I said, well, what about the blind man born blind? You know, and Jesus said, this is not because of a sin. Oh, they rejected that. You know, everything was just rejected. And I was like, where is this going? And I was looking in their eyes, and I was like, there just seems just no hope. There just seems, it was just weird. And I said, okay, what is your denomination? Tell me more. And they've been really, they didn't want to tell us. But finally they did say that they were part of the World Mission Society Church of God. And I said, okay, tell me more about that. Who's your leader? And they weren't saying Jesus. They said, you know, God's our leader. I was like, okay, but who is your denomination leader? They weren't saying this. So I got my phone out, and I started Googling it when they were there. Because I thought, if you're not going to tell me, I'm going to find out. And I said, well, I found Wikipedia. I said, well, am I all right just to read what I'm finding in Wikipedia to you? And so Wikipedia started saying that what they believe is that Jesus has already came, his second coming has came, and it was in South Korea. And these are two South Korean ladies. And I said, do you believe this? And they said, yes. I said, it also says here that you believe that God the Mother is currently living in South Korea. Do you believe this? And they said, yes. And I was like, wow. I said, you are so wrong. And I even said, I think you're going down the level of cult. And when I said the word cult, she started celebrating. She started getting giddy and going, thank you, thank you. When everyone says that, it's a blessing on us. And it just started getting weird. And I just said, okay, what's your testimony? What is your testimony? Why are you doing this? I said, because I don't think even you really believe what you're saying. Why do you believe this? And she said, well, what's a testimony? So I shared a testimony. I shared my testimony. I said, that's my testimony. What's your testimony? And she was like, what's it to you? I said, because you'd come into my door saying that I should follow you and follow your teaching. How has this changed your life? And she couldn't answer. She couldn't give an answer of why she does what they're doing. Other than just saying, well, somebody told me and I followed and now I'm doing this. And I said, do you read your Bible on your own? And she said, no. She said, why would I read my Bible on our own? I said, because if you read your Bible on your own, there is no way you would come to the conclusion that you've came to me and said that God, the Mother, is there and she's living in Korea and Jesus' second coming is living in Korea and all this other stuff you add in. There's no way if you were to sit down with your Bible on your own and go through the scriptures, there is no possible way that would be the conclusion. But yet, here's the thing, people. And I probably came with a little bit of arrogance at times because I was thinking, well, this is not even hard. And part of my struggle this week, I felt God saying, you know, who are you to come against this enemy in your own strength? Because I did. I was like, this is not difficult. I left that door open. We chatted for them for over an hour. Because partly it was like, well, I want to speak to them, so they're not going to my neighbors. Because at one point, they started to go to my neighbors, and then I brought up something else, and then they came back. And by the time we were finished with them, they actually just left the community. But here's the thing. Too often we think, oh, if someone believes in the Bible, they're good. Too often people think that just because people say Jesus, that they are Christian. And we have to know our Bible and know that the only way to salvation is through Jesus. If anyone adds anything else, if anyone adds anything to this truth, that you have to do this or that or believe in anything else, you are saying Jesus is a lie. When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For those that say that Jesus can't be God, then I say, well, let's turn to in Scripture when Thomas came before Jesus, and Jesus said, look at my hands, because this is one of the things that separate us from others, from this group of people, from Mormons, from Jehovah's Witness. This is what separates us, as other things. Jesus appeared and said, peace be with you. And he said, put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out and put them in my side. Stop doubting and believing. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus did not say, oh, Thomas, you've got that totally wrong. But he says, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Salvation is in the name of Jesus and in no other way. Many will come in the name of Jesus and say that they've came and that Jesus' second coming has happened. They will deceive. Jesus says that in Matthew 24, in Mark 13, that people will come in my name and say that a second coming has happened, but they are deceiving. We have to know Scripture. We have to know truth. And so where this links to baptism is when you read your Bible, it is very obvious that if you were to read it on your own 20 times, that you would come to a conclusion where you'd read about creation. You'd read about the story of God through the Old Testament. That you'd get to a place of going, Jesus is the way, and then there's a response. Baptism is so clear in Scripture that it's down to a level of obedience. Of when we read Scripture on our own, what do we receive? When I read baptism, I see it's pretty obvious that when we say yes to Christ, our response is repenting, turning from that sin, believe, be baptized, and be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so a little bit about baptism. We see baptism in the New Testament. We don't see it so much, well, we don't see it at all, the word in the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, we do get a picture of cleansing. Leviticus talks about here, then Aaron, depends how you want to say it, is to go to the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place. And he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in a holy place and put on his regular garments. Then he shall come out of sacrifice the burnt offering for himself and the burnt offering for the people to make atonement for himself and for people. Water was used in the Old Testament as this cleansing. An act of cleansing physically that self, because then it was that, you know, they didn't want to get filthy, get sin. They wanted to cleanse themselves from that. But then we come to the New Testament and see baptism. And we see it as an act of repentance and preparation for when Jesus is coming. So John the Baptist, John said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Baptism was then as an act again of repentance, but an act of preparation for when Jesus was to come. Baptism is this beautiful symbolic moment of saying, this is what's happened in my life, that I am dead to that old, I am alive in Christ. the picture we have when Jesus came out of the water is full submersion. We do see that picture. I know in the Church of Nazarene, we're open to, you know, sprinkle and full submersion. The way I see it is, might as well just go for it. And if you want to be fully submerged in Christ, so let's be fully submerged in baptism. The picture we have from Jesus as he goes fully, when he comes out of the water, so there's the picture of going in and then coming out, that the Holy Spirit descends on him. And when we are baptized, is this symbolic moment of saying, I am dead to that old. I have accepted Christ in my life. I have accepted that I do mess up, that I want to reject that sin, and I want to be alive in Christ, alive in the resurrection. Colossians says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses and other areas of obedience. Dead to old, alive in Christ. It's a simple command for those who accepted Christ in their life. Peter, filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by God, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A simple command. But the question sometimes people put is, can you be a Christian and not be baptized? And I have two answers for that. One a technicality and one that I think is a better answer. Technicality. Well, look at the thief on the cross. Right? In that moment, he accepted Christ. Jesus didn't say, well, I'm lucky for you, but you got to unhook yourself from this cross, find some water, get in that water, then get back on this cross. Then you'll join me today in paradise. No, he said, today, you join me in paradise. So there's the technicality to get away from, again, a works to salvation. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. But here's the second response to that, and I think this is a better one. Why would you ask that question? Why would that be a question? If we are saying, Jesus, I've came to the conclusion that you died for me. I've came to the conclusion that creation wasn't a fluke, that this is God forming creation, forming me. I've came to the conclusion that out of love, because of all my messiness, but out of love, God sent his only son to die on that cross for me. And through just saying yes to him and following him, I have eternal life in him. And I surrender all to you. I want to follow you. I want to know you more. Why would that even be a question that we would genuinely ask, oh, well, can you be a Christian, not be baptized? That shouldn't even be a question. This is an act of obedience. If you've accepted Christ in your life, he teaches us to be baptized. And so I encourage you, those who, for different reasons, and I understand there's different reasons, haven't, is to look hard into that. And go, have I accepted Christ? Then yes, then I must be baptized, because that is this beautiful act of signifying to all around, to say, I am dead to the old, I am alive in Christ. Jesus, I'm with you. I'm with you. Matthew 28. This is Jesus giving us this great commission. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No mention of anyone else there. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Like Jen said last night, it was celebration. With Maddie in the summer, celebration. Celebration when somebody says, Jesus, I say yes to you. That I want to turn from my old life and I experience there is hope in you. And there is a response. There is a response in our life of following Christ. A life of discipleship. A life of surrender. To say, Jesus, I want to surrender this to you. Surrender my life to you. You know, for those of you sat here today who have been baptized, here's my challenge to you. When I said to the lady at the door, if you were to read the Bible on your own, not with any other book, not with anyone else, on your own, that you would never come to the conclusion that you've came to. When you here today read your Bible and you see a clear messages of obedience to live a life of love, of holiness, forgiveness, of surrender, what in your life can you look and go, you know, maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to follow this. Maybe if Jesus is telling me to do this, I should take this serious. Maybe if Scripture is telling me to do this surrender or whatever it might be, that actually I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to put that in my life and I'm going to put that into practice. Those of you who accept Christ and you haven't yet been baptized, we want to give you the opportunity for baptism. And so, I'm going to get the phone out again. This time, instead of going away and thinking about it and getting distracted or finding other reasons, it's text. Text me and say, yeah, I want to get baptized. I've accepted Christ in my life. And by the way, this might be a little different for others, but the picture I get in the Bible is first comes believing, then comes baptism. And so we want to baptize you. If you as a, say an adult or a child really, but if you in yourself have came to the place of going, Jesus, you are true. I've came to that place through faith. Then we want to baptize you as a believer. Because that's the picture we get in Scripture. And we want to celebrate that with you. So come and speak to me if you don't have a phone, or text me, or email me. But don't keep putting that off. This is an act of obedience. I'm actually going to have the band come up. Or wake the band up with that noise. And then after we sung, I'm going to share a few. My phone's been dinging. So I'm looking forward to sharing what people have texted me. And I'm going to share with each of you of some brief testimonies here of baptism. So we're going to have you guys come up. I'm just going to pray. Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. If there's anything that is clearly taught in Scripture, that maybe we haven't just surrendered. For whatever reason, put in pride, maybe a lack of faith. If you're sat here today and you're confused of the way of salvation, I don't want you to leave here still being confused. Let us talk. About who Jesus is and the truth of accepting Christ as the only way. Because there are many that will come and deceive, many that look friendly, many will be very warm and greeting and smile and all the rest of it, but many come and deceive. Scripture is enough. Jesus is enough. If anything is to be added to that, it is not of Jesus. Holy God, we thank you for the life that we have in you. Jesus, thank you that you are the way, that you are the truth, that you are the life, that we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven without going through you, that it is in the name of Jesus that every knee will bow, that we say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It is only by you that whoever believes in you will be saved. God, keep our eyes on you. Jesus, keep our eyes on you. And Lord, we thank you for baptism. We thank you for the clear picture that Scripture gives us of this act that we celebrate, of what has taken place in our heart, of when we go down, we're saying we are dead, we are giving up, we are surrendering that old, but we come alive and live in the life of the resurrection, which is a life of holiness, which is a life of love, which is a life of surrendering all and following you, Jesus, proclaiming that you are God, that you are Lord. Like Thomas came to that conclusion, Lord and my God, that is you, Jesus. That is you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, work in this place, work in our lives. Allow us not to be deceived. Keep ourselves rooted to you. So when temptations come our way, when enemies come our way, you know, the hopelessness I saw in those eyes of those ladies, they did not believe the truth that they were saying. They did not believe in, sorry, the lies that they were saying. They need to believe the truth that's in you. There was hopelessness there. God, Holy Spirit, fill us with more of you. Jesus, lead us in your way, Father God. Lead us in your way. Holy Jesus, allow us to praise and worship you this morning. Allow us to respond to you, to surrender all. You are God. In your name, amen.